20% of Guelph's population struggle with food security, and at some point in the year will rely upon an external community group for food assistance. The lineups are becoming longer as demand continues to increase, even in a prosperous place such as Canada. Today we hear from the network of organizations that address food security in Guelph. Many are located in specific neighborhoods, and as you'll hear, there's an ever-expanding number of them. Some address food security in the city, and others cover Wellington County, but all attempt to address the need in the face of austerity and numerous other challenges.
Good morning, Breezy Breakfast. We are here on our 150th Breezy Breakfast Radio Hour episode on Thursday, November the 30th. We are entering the winter season, and we are talking about food security in Guelph. As we are gathering here today at the Rise and Shine Brunch Restaurant, please let us be reminded that we are on lands that have been inhabited by Indigenous peoples for millennia. And the place that is now called Guelph has been the traditional home of the Attawandaran and the Haudenosaunee. It is Treaty 3 lands held with the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, and we are also part of the Two-Row Wampum Treaty. So today, we are talking about food security. And in Guelph, I believe that we are rather blessed by the number of food security providers that we actually have. I was able to have a conversation with someone that went to a conference that was a couple of years ago. And this person was astounded when they found out that Guelph is actually one of the places that has the best food security. And based on the number of organizations that I have here today, and just the number of organizations that I saw when I went to an event at the North End Harvest Market, I had to agree. And I felt that it was time that we highlighted all of the great organizations that we have in this city. So today we have a few here in restaurant, and we've got a couple online. I'm also going to be talking about a couple of the organizations that sent their regrets in advance because they were not able to be here today. And I'm looking forward to hearing questions from anyone in the audience about the different things that they'd like to know about food security in Guelph. So I'm going to get right into it by asking my good friend Kate Nixon, who's currently ordering her meal, to come on up to the microphone if she can hear me. It looks like she's on her way. Kate is the face of your downtown Guelph Friends, and I am very proud to call this incredible young person a friend of mine.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting us to be here. I'm here with this group of lovely folks, your downtown Guelph Friends. These incredible volunteers, amongst other people who aren't present here today, comprise of your downtown Guelph Friends. We're a neighborhood group for the downtown core. We started approximately 4 years ago, very humble beginnings. We started by looking at the needs in our community and assessing what could be done. So about 4 years ago, we saw that there were no food programming on Fridays. So then we thought, okay, why don't we just bring guerrilla style programming to the streets of Guelph, making sandwiches. And actually, it wasn't an original idea because I saw Juanita one time brought peanut butter and jam sandwiches to people at a service downtown. And I thought, well, that's something that we could do. That's feasible. So we started making sandwiches. We met in somebody's lobby community room in an apartment building downtown. And every week we'd get together on a Friday and make sandwiches and bring down about 100. Now, 4 years ago, our numbers were approximately 50 people a day. We've now surpassed as of last week. We served about 170 people at a meal program. So the numbers have tripled for us. And then fast forward to on Sundays, there was also that gap that had opened up where regular programming wasn't able to occur on Sundays. And we thought, you know what? We were just doing sandwiches and we took it up a notch and we thought, let's give this meal a try. So with the help of Community Food, who's here today, we've now been able to successfully service both Friday and Sunday meal programming in the streets of Guelph directly. We don't do any sort of means testing, so anybody's welcome to come, no questions asked, and they access a meal in front of the Guelph Community Health Center on Friday and Sundays. Now, we also are available for emergency food supports, so people are able to phone us if they one day, you know, they come out of like a program or they just notice there's nothing in their cabinet and they're in urgent need, they're able to call us and reach us directly 24/7 really. And we're able to provide food supports. We also provide material supports. I know this is focused on food insecurity, but our work isn't just based in food insecurity. We also do material supports. We did a drive recently where we collected a ton of winter clothing and we distribute it in different places throughout the community where there is a need and where people are going without. And we're incredibly fortunate because our volunteers, like some that are here today, and the people who come into the kitchen and help to cook, and Community Food who helps us prepare the meals, and our donors, they all come together to create this mission. And we see hundreds of people every month in Guelph. We have people that are coming from the unhoused community, newcomers, those living in poverty, living with various struggles, marginalized identities, etc. And we're very proud to say that this program has been going on for 4 years. We currently are operating on a donation and grant based sort of support. So we're not funded by the city or so we were funded by a GNSC and grants, donations, etc. So we're really heavily dependent on the support from the community. Without the community, we really can't do this work. So we feel incredibly fortunate and privileged to be able to get to be so intimate with the community and be present in their most, in some of their hardest times. It really is a profound honor. So thank you so much for allowing us to be here today.
Okay, Kate, if somebody wants to make a donation specifically to your downtown Guelph friends, what's the best way for them to do that?
Because we are not a registered charity, we do have to go through the channels of the GNSC, the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, who's generously offered to support us in this. So people can make a donation to the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition and let them know that you would like to make a donation to your downtown Guelph friends, and they're able to issue a tax receipt. You're also able to e-transfer us directly at yourdowntownguelphfriends@gmail.com. And you can reach out to us on our social media. We have Instagram and Facebook, Your Downtown Guelph Friends, and Gmail, yourdowntownguelphfriends@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate. And one of the things that Kate didn't mention that's really been changing just over the last little while are the number of refugees that are accessing the services that Your Downtown Guelph Friends offer. One of the things Kate didn't mention is where it happens. Kate sets up under the old Concert Hall Theater marquee at the corner of Wyndham and Woolwich, which is also the location of another non-government supported organization called The Bench, which I'm sure many of us are aware of. So we're going to go to one of the people online, and then I am going to ask Phil to read out one of the descriptions that was provided for one of the organizations that wasn't able to show up. So first off, I would love to hear from Janet at Chalmers. If you could please unmute and let us know a little bit about your organization, the demographic you serve, and if there are any limitations as far as geographic location. Take it away.
Okay, it's Janet Wood from Chalmers Community Services Center of the United Church of Canada, or Chalmers. Since 2008, when we moved from Chalmers Church, which is now the Royal City Mission, Chalmers has been offering food and personal hygiene products from our downtown location at 41 MacDonnell and our west location at 577 Willow Road. We ask our guests their names. We offer them grocery store style, an array of new foods designed by a dietitian to meet the needs of us, an adult, for 3 days. We do this with the efforts of four part-time staff, a volunteer board of directors, of which I'm the chair, and about 100 volunteers. Amazing, amazing people. A plug, it's a great place to volunteer because our mandate is to treat our guests with respect and dignity, and that has great effects on how we treat each other, actually. It's a wonderful place to volunteer. Our guests are people who are employed but not making enough money to pay the rent and buy the food, people who are trying to get by on ODSP or Ontario Works, people who are international students, people who are newcomers to Canada, people who are trying to get by on pensions that they thought would be enough. So it's also a great place to be because one is immersed in the human diversity of Guelph. Really interesting place. That's about all I want to say for now. I'm happy to answer questions. If you want to donate to Chalmers, go to chalmerscenter.ca online and to our donate page, and we will send you a tax receipt. Thank you. Maybe then I could just also say that, yes, we're blessed with an amazing array of emergency food providers in Guelph, but of course, that is a reflection of the enormous need in the community. And I'm not going to reel off a bunch of statistics because you've probably heard them before, but we have huge and increasing need. Food banks were invented in the 1980s with the idea that they would be a temporary solution to food insecurity. And yet the numbers keep growing. The last estimate I heard is that there are something like 30 emergency food providers in Guelph, some of them very small, but that's a reflection of need. I also forgot actually to acknowledge our donors of in-kind food. By June of this year, we had 100 in-kind food donors. Some of them are quite large, like Cedarvale Farms, which donates a lot of our produce in the summer. Some of them are very small, like the things that come from my backyard. But we thank them, of course, and our donors of money and time. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Janet. And that is a really important piece to understand, that the donors come from everywhere. I am going to turn it over to Phil Ault right now. He is going to let us know about one of the organizations called Children's Foundation. Their program is called Food and Friends. And they were unfortunately not able to be with us today, and we'd still like to highlight the very important work that they do. Phil.
Thank you very much, Tanya. The Children's Foundation is an organization with which I'm quite familiar, as a friend of mine is very active within it. But let me just read to you a little bit about what they do. The Children's Foundation Food and Friends program brings healthy food to hungry minds. Breakfast, morning meals, snack, and lunch programs are offered throughout Dufferin, Wellington County, and Guelph agencies and schools, and provide an atmosphere of social inclusion among students who may otherwise feel marginalized. Students have decreased disruptive behaviors in the classroom, learn healthy, easy eating habits, and build strong social skills. The Children's Foundation supports vulnerable children and youth by applying for grants on behalf of students, ensuring criteria and reporting requirements for grants are fulfilled, assisting individual programs throughout the counties and the city with their local fundraising efforts, recruiting and training volunteers, providing continuity and assistance in the administration of individual Food and Friends programs, as that is very important, organizing forums to promote best practice, maintaining quality assurance, and ensure the guidelines and standards recommended by the Ministry of Children, Community and Social Services and national charities are maintained. They make a difference by providing children and youth with a positive start to the day, improve their learning abilities, decrease disruptive behaviors, encourage positive social skills, teach children and youth healthy eating habits. And if anybody wishes to donate, they can either see me or visit the Children's Foundation online or contact Lori Lantaine at the Children's Foundation.
Thank you, Phil, for highlighting that. And next, we are going to move on to Michelle. And Michelle, you're going to have to remind me which organization you're with. I've lost track.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody. I'm really excited to be here. I've been part of the food security organization known as the Peas in the Pod since about 2017. And we're a network of neighborhood groups who have been providing food in the city of Guelph. I was sitting next to Barb in 2017, and we were talking about the North End Harvest Market and the struggles that she was having with the people who live in the Onward Willow Neighborhood Group area and how hard it was for them to make it to the North End Harvest Market to obtain food. And I went, oh, because where we're located is in the Onward Willow Neighborhood Group. I said, let me see if I can do something about that. So we're located in All Saints Lutheran Anglican Church on Silver Creek. And everyone goes, huh? And I go, between Burger King and Value Village. And they go, there's a church there? And I go, yeah, we're a well-kept secret. So in May of 2017, we started with our first market, and we did it the day after the North End Harvest Market. So any of that are leftover food came to us. Circular Food Economy has been around for a while. By the end of the year, we were doing two markets a month, just the same way that the North End Harvest Market worked. People can come twice a month. Fast forward to today. So we still operate two markets a month on the first and third Thursday of each month. Registration starts at 1:30. Food distribution begins at 2:00. And quite honestly, by 2:30, all the food is gone. Our model is very much similar to what goes on at the North End Harvest Market. There is no registration requirement other than I try to get a name and a phone number and an address so that we have contact information. We need to know how many people are in your family, and that's it. Our main focus when the North End Harvest Market started, and it's the model that we followed, is that the gap in the system is around fresh, nutritious produce, because there's a lot of other places where you can get shelf-stable foods, but not a lot of places where you can get fresh food. So our focus has been on providing fruits, vegetables. And because we have changed over the years, as our market guest makeup has changed, we've included things like okra, kale, ginger, along with the staples of potatoes, onions, and fruits and vegetables, so bananas, oranges, apples, things like that. We got a grant in, I think it was 2001, for part of the Smart Cities thing, and I had to actually track how much food we were giving out to each person, and it averaged out to 5 pounds of food per person, and we thought that was at least a pretty good measure of helping us understand how much food was moving into the community. Things have not changed much other than the numbers have increased. Most of the people who come to us live in the West End. We don't really have a boundary, but we try to ask people to choose between the North End Harvest Market and us, just so that we can try to serve as many households as possible. And the numbers have gone up. So in all of 2022, we served 4,878 people. It's November 2023, and to date, we've served 6,483 individuals from 1,444 households. So that is almost a one-third increase between last year and this year. We had our biggest attendance ever 2 weeks ago, and I was registering 13 new families at that event. We had 89 families show up, and we literally ran out of food, which is frustrating for us because where our leftover food goes is to the 238 Willow, which is a Guelph Community Assisted Living building. And so we've been supporting them as well. None of this could have happened for us without the seed, and the it just came in. The Guelph Community Health Center, because it allows us to purchase food at wholesale prices, which is really, really, really important to us. Because as you've all noticed, the grocery store costs for food are just going up and up and up. We have families who are coming to us for the first time who have never had to access food supports. And we're seeing that happen. So our funding comes basically through the congregation at All Saints and a whole bunch of lovely people in the community. So sometimes we get grant money. We're often excluded because we're a church. So a lot of places you can't apply for grant money. We've been supported through the Anglican Church of Canada, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. We have received money from organizations or businesses, I guess, like Capital Paving, who gives us about $10,000 a year, which is amazing, and we really appreciate that. Other than that, if you wanted to do a donation, it would be to through the church, and we're All Saints Lutheran Anglican Church. Other than that, if you know someone who lives in the West End or anywhere in the city of Guelph who needs food, come and find us on the first and third Thursday of each month at 1:30. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Michelle. And just with the mention of the North End Harvest Market, that's actually how I first got involved with food security. I worked in a local medical clinic, and they were looking for a way to give back to the community. North End Harvest Market had just started their Adopt a Week program, and the clinic that I worked with was one of the very first organizations to adopt a week. At that time, I believe it was $600 a week for everyone to be able to get some fresh produce at North End Harvest Market. I believe now the cost has gone up to somewhere in the range of $1,500 a week. So that's almost a tripling in how much it costs to provide food for individuals and families in our city at one location in 5 years. My math isn't all that great. And so it's 2017 when they started their Adopt a Week program. So from 2017 to 2023. It went from 600 up to basically 1500. So that's not only an indication of how much more it costs for food, it's also an indication of how many more individuals are being supported. Just a little anecdote, a friend of mine who is on long-term disability due to an invisible disability called lupus, went to the grocery store to buy some meat. The week before, she had purchased the exact same product for about $8. And last week, it had gone up to almost $18. So in 1 week, she was in the grocery store and she was in tears. And this is someone that is very, very good at budgeting because they've been on long-term disability for a very long time. Next, we are going to hear from West Willow Village, Julian.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Julian, and I'm the food system manager over at the West Willow Village Community Development Co-op. All right, so our organization started in the City of Guelph Neighborhood Group a few decades ago. We support the west of Guelph, so that is typically the west of the Hanlon Expressway. And we incorporated as the West Village Co-op in 2015 and have charitable status. As of right now, we don't receive any annual funding. So as a community development agency, we provide a number of supports and programs in partnership with other agencies. So some of those programs would be our food hub that we run twice a week, every week, our free tax filing services, recreational after school programs, RASP, our summer programs for children, Camp Wilderwood, OESP applications, our fall fair, the community gardens we run, the adopt-a-family applications that we help to fill out, the free-to-grow applications, free recreation in the neighborhood, free backpacks and supplies for school children, the affordable bus pass applications. We help out with filling out of CRA applications as well as housing applications. So we've been running for a few decades now, and it's always been a grassroots-led initiative. But since our beginning, we've always had a food cupboard that's been associated with us and has received help from the food bank. So near the end of 2021, we were asked by the food bank to help run a pilot program with alongside the other neighbor group, the Grand Chill East. And essentially, the gist of that program was to help decentralize food access to neighborhood sites in town. The food project started in February of 2022 and ended in July of 2022. At the end of our pilot in June 2022, there was an increase of 167% in the number of households that we were able to support, an increase of 223 numbers of individuals that we were able to reach out to as a result of this program. So that in different numbers. When the pilot started, we had about 35 households that we were able to access the food hub. And by the end of it, there was now 286. So roughly 823 people that were now able to access our food hub as a result of the pilot project. So as of right now, there are about 70 to 90 families that access our food hub by every week. Again, about 200 individuals. We do grow some of that produce ourselves through our community gardens and through some of the land that we have. And the majority, and we also receive donations from the food bank as well as organizations like Ignatius Farms, as well as some of the neighborhood families as well provide some food to us as well. As I mentioned before, we don't receive annual funding. All of our funds come from the co-op itself and donations. If you want to provide donations to us, we are a charity, so we are able to, you're able to look us up on Canada Gives if you look up for West Village Community Co-op, or you can also reach us by our email at info@westwillowvillage.ca. That is more or less everything that we have for our blurb. I just want to thank you again for having us here. We're happy to be here.
Thank you so very, very much, Julian. And we are now going to turn it over to Phil Ault, as he has something he would like us all to be aware of.
Thanks very much, Morgan. One of the points that I think is very important is that we do have two counselors who are with us. And the chair of the Board of Education, Ralph Messenbrink, and I'd like to welcome them here. But in particular, I'd like to focus on... without embarrassing her, one particular individual, and that's Linda Busatil, who has been very, very active in the West End, ensuring food security and shelter and even clothing security for people. Linda is here with us, and I don't know whether Linda wants to say a couple of words or not about the activities that she's been engaged in the West End tirelessly, I would say, for 8 to 10, maybe even more years.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you, Phil, for putting me on the spot. Much appreciated. Yeah, good thing I dressed properly this morning. So thank you. Yes. So I'm a volunteer in the West Village. And the way that we do things is really we want to build the capacity for families to have opportunities to address their own food needs, food access. And so Julian, who is very shy there. So we have the largest community garden in the city of Guelph, feeding 65 families on huge plots. And there's a food fence around the garden that provides asparagus and rhubarb and things like that to our food program. So it was intentionally designed to provide food to the families that need some support through the food hub, but also huge gardens where families can grow their own produce. And the next stage in our project is we got a little bit of funding for a kitchen, so that families can transform their produce into canning goods and things like that. We also run every year children's programs around food programs, food skills. And we also run, and Julian did mention this, the We have a high school program in the summer free for our high school students, our young farmers, where they come out and they get their hands in the soil and they actually get a high school credit as well. And we've been doing that since 2012. We're kind of low key. We don't get out there in the media much and so on, but those kids are turned on to food and food literacy and food skills and food careers. And they go out to Ignatius. They learn about alternative economic opportunities as well. The other thing that's kind of exciting at 10 o'clock today, Ralph. So I come up with the ideas. I'll admit, I just draw the ideas. The person who does all the work is Ralph over there. So I draw the gardens and he builds them kind of thing. We're meeting at 10 o'clock today with a company, a business in the West End, to talk to them about social responsibility. And they're meeting, we sent them the video of our garden. We're meeting with them because they want to do a huge garden and also give back to the community as well. So when we think of food security, it's not just about, and we value all the donors, it's how do we use the spaces where we live and how do we make those connections to contribute to food security. So we're hoping that we will get some kind of fruit trees is what we're going to advocate for and gardens back to us as well. And so that's kind of what we do. And we have the flexibility of kind of meeting needs where they are. We take our direction from the community. Anyway, so that's us. And thank you, Phil. I'll get you back.
Again, thank you to both Linda and to Ralph. And just for anybody that doesn't know, and I will embarrass them a bit, they are a couple. And as you can tell, in most couples, there's an ideas person, and then there's the person that does the vacuuming. So thank you, Ralph, for doing the vacuuming. It's appreciated. With regards to all of that, later on, we're going to hear from Aaron Caton with a unique take on food security. And that's one about food sensitivities and what a person must do in order to ensure food security for themselves. Erin is an interesting person because of all the work that she does on, I would say, her own little acre to ensure that she has food that she and her daughter can enjoy. Morgan.
Thank you, Phil. And Erin, I will be calling on you shortly. Just before we get there, I am going to ask Kate from the Guelph Community Health Center and representative of the SEED to help us understand how those two work together and all the great stuff that happened.
Thank you so much. It's rare that I do a virtual and in-person meeting the same day, so I'm really happy to see everyone in person. So I'm Kate Vestula. I'm the Director of Community Programs and Development at the Guelph Community Health Center. One of our programs that sprung out of community consultation is the SEED Project. The SEED Project is about working collaboratively with our partners to ensure that everyone has access to fresh, affordable, healthy food. At the beginning of the presentation, we heard that, you know, we're really lucky to have a landscape of tons of food access organizations. To me, that's a blessing. And it's also a shame that we have to work tirelessly for this situation. Guelph Wellington has 1 in 5 households that can't put enough food on their table. That's over 20,000 people in our communities. It's a disgrace. And so we're working really hard with partners on that. I'll just highlight a few of our programs and some exciting news. So we have good food distribution. We work with over 40 partners to move food through the network so that they can do their good work. We're really excited to partner with schools, food access organizations, and others. We, part of that is moving free food through a partnership with Second Harvest, which is a food surplus organization in Toronto. This coming year, we plan to move over $2 million of food through our network. We also run a program called Groceries from the Seed, which is a sliding scale online grocery store. No questions asked, you pay what you can. We currently have hundreds of people on that wait list to access that program. And we have lots of other programs. I love what Linda said. It's about community engagement, community capacity building, about building connections so that we have safety net in our community that is neighbors to neighbors. So one of those projects is Sheldale Farm Park. And I'd like to highlight our in-person sliding scale market right now is happening on in Sheldale on Friday mornings. And again, that's no questions asked, pay what you can on a sliding scale. We have lots of other exciting projects. I won't get into them right now. I'll talk a little bit about our funding. We have very little core funding from the Ministry of Health, even though we're situated in the Guelph Community Health Center, and we work tirelessly to find funding for our projects. And that comes from foundations, that comes from a donor base, and that comes from lots of in-kind contributions. For example, truckloads of food from Cargill that is stored at our warehouse and distributed out through the network, and lots of other creative ways of in-kind support, like Linda was saying, working with businesses and individuals. If folks want to learn more about the seed, how to volunteer, how to participate in the programs, or how to give back, you can check us out online, or you can talk to me or any of the seed volunteers or staff. And I think that answers all the questions you wanted me to talk about. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you so very much, Kate, and thank you for running down here from the opposite end of the downtown area. So just to let everyone know where we're going with this, I'm going to go to Dana online next. Then I'm going to ask Yazi from Community Food to let us know about that great organization. We also have Ashley from the Food System Resilience Table here. Phil is going to fill us in on a couple of other organizations like Hope House and RCM. I want to make a mention of the Guelph Food Bank, which is somewhere that I get to go on a periodic basis. They were hoping to be here today, but were not able to make it. They're located over on Crimea. So you can look up Guelph Food Bank and find out all about them. Dana, online, please let us know about the organization you wanted to highlight today.
Thank you, Morgan. I'm here to talk about FUN, or Food Uniting Neighbors. Food Uniting Neighbors is a group of 13 community members in the Almond Willow community who for the last 2 years have been working to tackle food insecurity in the Almond Willow neighborhood. We've hosted 12 focus groups. We surveyed almost 100 people, and we collected their feedback, we've come up with 5 main areas that we're trying to tackle, one being transportation. So we've purchased, since we're not a taxi service, we purchased a number of carts and wagons that we distributed through the neighborhood, allowing people a little bit more freedom when they're grocery shopping. We've, in conjunction with Chef Yassi from Community Food, we've ran a number of cooking workshops. We've had about 30 people accessing these workshops. One was what to do with the basic stuff that everybody gets from, like, food cupboards. Then we had one on seasonal foods, where Chef Yassi taught us all how to make delicious ratatouille. And then we're coming up on our third, which is on how to use spices and just the versatility of those spices. We've held a number of community cafes because people were interested in connecting again, especially coming out of a pandemic. We've purchased a number of gift cards from the seed so people can access that program, and it helps us get feedback and that we can provide to the seed and how they might be able to improve their programming. And we also did a number of garden workshops, as well as purchased some small garden beds for people living in, townhouses with a small patio, or somebody with a balcony in an apartment. So yeah, if you would like to learn more about food, we have a Facebook page. Just look for the watermelon. Or you can come to our latest thing. It's called Fun Fridays. We work in conjunction with the seed. We have free food. There's a free food market. There's a sliding scale market. We offer coffee, sweet treats, and just a chance to, meet your neighbors. and get some more of that community connection. And that is every Friday from 10:30 to 2. Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much. And just very quickly, I had a message come in from Paul Costello. He wanted to highlight something that happens on Saturdays. So, Paul, can you please let us know what it is that happens on Saturdays that you'd like to highlight?
Thank you, Morgan. I thought we should mention Rachel's Saturday Table. It's probably the biggest single sidewalk food source in one day, every Saturday. And she's having her one-year anniversary in about 5 weeks. Before that, she was in the same spot with others. And you can check out Rachel's Saturday Table on Facebook. There's a huge lineup. We usually have 5 fold-out tables, and I know we have more because I bought 2 more from Lynn Griss for a very reasonable price. I see Ron's in the crowd. There's a hot, 2 hot selections, all kinds of desserts, bananas. They've been calling me the banana man for about 4 years. And usually apples donated by Wayne Laidlaw every second Saturday. Coffee, hot chocolate. We've added hot cider. And it's, as I said, it's about 5 of the long tables you take for presentations. And it'll probably get bigger, and we all know why.
Thank you so very much, Paul, for letting us know. So that basically covers the entire week. We've got Rachel on Saturdays at the corner of Wyndham and Woolwich. We've got the bench Monday through Thursday. And we've got your downtown friends on Fridays and Sundays. Another organization that does a lot of pop-ups around town is Community Food. So I'm going to turn this over to Yazzie. And after Yazzie speaks, I'm going to ask Aaron to just talk a little bit, because I know that Aaron's been able to access food from Community Food, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. So Yazzie, over to you.
I'm Yassi. I'm from Community Food. Food is spelled F-U-W-D and stands for Food Equity with Dignity. It's my honor to do this work and to be here with all these amazing people and organizations doing such important work. Also, what a shame that people go hungry. And while I love the work I do and I feel good about it, I come to it because I feel that there's nothing else I can personally do, and the real problems are run a lot deeper. So I just need to say that housing, social supports, universal basic income, please, so we can all be out of business. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Food is love for me. I'm a cook. I've been working in food for 25 years, and basically I can't feed people who can pay for it anymore. I work almost 100% with surplus food, which means that food that would otherwise end up in landfill, I fill a gap between rescued food and food distribution, as all these incredible organizations are distributing fresh produce that has a limited shelf life. Often these organizations receive a volume of food that cannot be processed quickly enough to get out to people. So I take food and turn it into hot, delicious gourmet meals and set up a takeout food stand. So we prep hot gourmet meals and we serve them in the community once or twice a week. We move around. We're bringing food to people. I would say the communities that we serve are working for fixed income, families, seniors, folks who can't afford to feed themselves due to various systemic issues. As part of this work, where I'm able to, we prep food for other programs because, as everybody who has to feed themselves every day knows, cooking food and preparing food is very labor intensive. So the idea being that instead of a whole bunch of people doing the same work if I am able to provide that food to people, because we're already doing it, then everybody's benefiting. So we prep food for Kate for their Sunday meal. We've been providing soup for the Friday, Shelldale Fridays for Food Uniting Neighbors. We provide soup for the Sanguine Health Van, harm reduction van that goes out into the community. And I've been recently contacted by lots of folks to do cooking classes and workshops and stuff like that. So we are a program of the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, GNSC. They are a charity, so you can donate to us and get your fancy receipt if you want. We got our first initial funding through our Food Future. Thank you very much. Circular food economy business. Everybody's heard about it. So that allowed me to manifest this vision into reality. We need money real bad right now. So tell your friends to give us money if they can. We have gotten money through some private donations. When we go out into the community, people are also able to provide a monetary donation if they want. It's not a requirement, but the food is available to anyone. So the idea is that if you have means and you're just coming because the food's damn tasty, give us some money to help support our program. When we serve food, we always make sure there's an option as much as possible for everyone. So a vegan option, a dairy-free, a gluten-free, something with meat, blah, blah, blah. Since we started in May of 2022, we've served 25,000 meals, which is awesome. And we've diverted about 11 tons of food. We work very closely with the seed. We access a lot of surplus food through the seed. It's a beautiful, amazing partnership. Bless the seed. And we specifically take things from them that are in large quantities that other can't be distributed to individual people. So that's what I do. I don't know if I missed anything. We serve at the North End Harvest Market twice a month. We serve in the ward twice a month. We're back serving once a month in Grange Hill East. We're also at Shelldale once a month, and we're slowly working towards getting back into the West End. The goal is to be at the West End Rec Center once or twice a month as well. And we are only limited by funds and space. So when and if we're able to get into a larger kitchen, we would be able to produce more and support more community groups. And our money goes towards, the money that we get goes towards paying. We have four staff, me, one full-time, three part-time staff, and a little bit of money towards some ingredients and rent and transportation. And yeah, thanks. Food.ca, F-E-W-D.ca. That's F-E-W-D.ca. Thank you so much, Yazzie. And I'm going to go over to Aaron, because Aaron, as Phil mentioned, you have issues with what foods you can eat, which I can relate to. And community food's been one of the places that you've been able to go. So tell us a little bit about what it is that your challenges are when it comes to being able to eat and the others like you in our community.
So I have had lots of food issues throughout the years and recently learned that a lot of them are wide spectrum type 4 allergies to entire food groups. So when you run into things like the grass family, that covers wheat and rice and corn and all sorts of things. And when I was very, very sick when I was living in Toronto, it ended up giving me chronic fatigue. That's how bad all of the food reactions were. So I moved out to Guelph so that I could farm my own stuff, because I was having reactions to the internal pesticides in different foods, as well as most pesticides, even organic ones that are used on produce. So I had to kind of like farm my own food or find no spray food in order to eat. But once I kind of worked myself back up to a certain level of health, then one of my main concerns was gluten. So through volunteering with the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, I found out about food.ca and all the great work that they're doing. And they're one of the few groups that actually has different options for food allergies. So if you are celiac and you have issues with wheat specifically or gluten, then you can go to their pop-ups and actually eat. I also am the Ward 1 city councilor, and I know that there's not a lot of options for folks in Ward 1, and food.ca actually comes out to Grange Hill East. I also want to do a little shout out to the Auden Road food pantry, which could use some help too if you're feeling in a donation mood, because there isn't a lot in our area, but they are. So one of the things that I did last year, because there are so many different, and my food situation is only just one. There's so many different things that people have if they've got food disabilities. There's like autoimmune protocol diets. There's FODMAP foods. There's dairy. There's peanuts. There's an in number of things that people can have an issue with, salicylates even. And these things are not covered in terms of the federal and provincial funds that the groups can apply for. So, and also, when you have a specialty diet, for some reason, commercially, they charge you more for it, even though the ingredients are pretty much the same as everybody else. So we call it the disability tax. And you end up paying 20% more for commercially made gluten-free foods than you would for standard wheat and other products. So the food banks and different food providers have to make the choice between being able to feed a much larger group of people or feed specific disability food situations like mine. So they often will make the choice to feed more people because it's kind of a greater good problem. And last year I ran a food drive for Chalmers and the North End Harvest Market and your downtown Guelph friends to get them some more allergy and disability related foods. So if you're going to be donating this year, maybe consider looking through the specialty food areas of the market, because when you donate money, the money will go mostly towards the standard foods. But if you donate allergy specific foods, then someone will actually get them who needs them.
Thanks very much. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that what we're hearing from is a number of organizations that are working in Guelph, which should give us a profound sense of how deep this problem is. Many of them I have not heard about, and I'm shocked. I also would like to point out that, like others who have said it before, I would like to see them all driven out of business. That's not going to happen. And regrettably, we are getting into the cold and the critical time of year, and these groups all need money. I'd also like to point out that I've got two friends from a Rotary Club here as well, Samia and Mahmoud from the Rotary Club Trillium Guelph. Oh, three, actually one's there too, I forgot. I would point out that Rotary is very active, and in particular is active in such things as the Children's Foundation, and tireless in commitment to many of these organizations. We would encourage that if you cannot give to any organization, you don't know where to go, contact any one of us, and we can certainly give you direction on how to support these groups. But having said that, this is the second largest turnout to Breezy Breakfast we've ever had. When I counted everybody up, we have about 60 people, both online and in the restaurant, which is which says that food security in Guelph matters. But food for thought matters too. And here's the shameless, selfish plug. Food for thought is Breezy Breakfast. And we are tight on money to keep this going. I would please encourage anybody who has an extra dollar, food first, by the way, But if you have an extra dollar or anything to keep Breezy Breakfast going, we operate on the very thinnest of margins. There is no profit. We try to give honoraria to people that work in nonprofits or are not waged, but we can't do it all, and we certainly do rely upon the support of friends who believe that getting this information out matters. So if you can provide money for food for thought and food for argument, and food for friends at Breezy Breakfast, we truly appreciate it.
I have Ashley from the Food System Resilience Table. And Ashley, I would really love to know where this food table started.
I'm really honored to be here as well, alongside so many people that, you know, work so tirelessly to support people in our community that are in need and that are going hungry. It's deplorable. So I work for the City of Guelph right now on the Our Food Future Initiative. And one of the first projects of Our Food Future Initiative when the pandemic struck, was to start the Food System Resiliency Table. So what's the resiliency table? So many, many cities, actually Canada's a leader in this. Many cities have formed food policy councils. Sometimes they sit within the municipal structure. Sometimes they operate as a grassroots organization. And they really are to bring different stakeholders together, not just the food access folks who are working on food access pieces, but also people from the business community, farmers, policymakers, all levels of government, and with the hope that the municipality is at the table. And the idea is that if we work together, we can come up with a common vision. We can build relationships, and we can help make the work of getting food to people easier for each other. So it's really about relationship building and coming together around a common vision. So we've worked as a small group. We started as a small group just after the pandemic struck, and now we've grown into about 25 members. We're a regional food policy council, which is a little bit different than what you see across the country, surprisingly. You don't really see rural and urban sort of communities coming together around the food system. So we're really proud of that. We have farmers, we have young people, we have researchers, we have, there's folks from the resiliency table here today. If you want to put your hand up, you can put your hand up and folks can see who you are. And I'm sure there's some folks on the call too that are part of the resiliency table. We're always looking for new members. We meet four times a year. Four times are in person and open, and anyone can join. We always share a meal. It's a lovely time to get together just like this, share a meal and hear about what's happening in the food system community. And one of the big projects that I wanted to highlight today that we've worked on for the last couple of years is the Guelph Wellington Charter for Food Justice. So I have some copies here. Thanks, Kate. So we had a food charter back in 2011. It was started by a group of people similar to the resiliency table. It was called the Guelph Wellington Food Charter. And that was in 2011. But like all good policy documents, which led to a whole bunch of amazing food initiatives in Guelph and Wellington, it went out of date and it was time to sort of revisit it. So this document, we worked on it for the last couple of years. It just officially launched in October. It's a beautiful visionary document. We spoke with over 140 stakeholders throughout the couple of years we were working on it. And it's really an opportunity to harmonize our vision for the food system that we want to see emerge in our community. There's kind of two ways that you can get involved. There's a QR code on the back. You can read all about our values and the themes and the things that we're interested in supporting. There's an individual sign-on endorsement. There's a QR code on the back that will take you to that sign-on page. But we're also looking for organizations, like-minded organizations, to get in touch with us and show your support for the charter. So, and not just organizations, we're looking for businesses. We have a beautiful printed poster version that's available. We'd love to see like-minded restaurants, you know, putting up the poster and really showing policymakers and folks who have power to show their support and help us build the food system that we want. So if you have an organization that's interested in putting some support behind us. We've got a beautiful website. It's charterforfoodjustice.ca. And I'm really hoping that folks in this room can take the time to sign as an individual on our Change Now, on our Change Now site. So everything is on our website. We also have, we have four different languages, translated the charter. So, and we're, if there's someone in the community that you know that doesn't speak one of those four languages, then we're happy to figure out a translation for them as well. Our email is on the back of the charter. And yeah, we just look forward to connecting with more people. And really, once policy issues come up at the municipality, provincially, federally, we'll be mobilized and ready to start pressing our policymakers for changes for a better food system. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you so very much, Ashley. So I'm going to ask Phil to let us know a little bit about RCM and Hope House. Then I'm going to ask Tanya for a little bit of information, and we'll be getting ready to close things out. So Phil, if you can let us know about the other two organizations, that would be great.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'm going to deal with Hope House because it's right in front of me. The Hope House Food Market is here to ensure that everyone in Guelph can provide their family with nutritious meals and household necessities. No one should need to choose between healthy food, a home, hygiene products, or anything else. Unfortunately, that's the reality. The food market is welcoming. It's no cost. It's choice-based. It's open to working and non-working families, and there really are no questions that are asked. Community members are free to shop the market for food and other items while receiving guidance from volunteers. Now, near and dear to my heart is the Royal City Mission, and I have to say that I've been very supportive of the Royal City Mission for a long time, and I'll be honest, I at first was skeptical of the Royal City Church. I didn't know what their intention was, but I have to say that in discussing things with Pastor Kevin, when he said that we are not here to save souls, we are here to save lives one day at a time, that resonated with me. Royal City Mission really does operate on a shoestring and really deals with some of the most marginalized in Guelph. And you and anybody can help someone to eat today. 62,000 meals were served at the church that is located right across from the bookshelf, and they need your help. They're open Monday to Saturday as a drop-in, serving 1,700 meals a week to anybody in need, and it, of course, gathers as a place of worship. That is not as important, I think, in many ways, as the fact that they are providing sustenance and support for people and are walking the walk. Please consider Royal City Mission. They are helping our outdoor downtown friends as they should, and it to me is truly in many respects a faith inspired mission. With that, Morgan, I think I can pass it back to you.
Thank you so much, Phil, for helping us to make sure that we include all of the organizations that. Well, I still don't think that we included all of the organizations today, because I know there are various food pantries in different neighborhoods. There are organizations that are in small communities. I know one of the things that is done through 10C, or no, sorry, through Hope House is a seniors program where they go out to some of the locations of where seniors are, and they bring food to them, and that's done with the nutritionist Molly. So if you want to check that out, that's across the city for seniors. And Tanya, you had something that you came across on CBC that you wanted to let us know about with regard to food security at the federal level. Fill us in.
Okay, so the feds are introducing Bill C-322, a national framework for a school food program act. Now, this bill would support a national framework for a school food program. It would undertake reviews and reports to see the effectiveness of the framework. Now, while school food programs fall under provincial jurisdiction, we know that this funding is supplemented by private and charitable sector contributions. So this would be a national framework. The highlights of the bill, it would set out criteria for determining whether food is healthy and which meals and snacks at a minimum would be offered in schools. And it would provide for measures to foster the use of local and sustainable food systems. So that's Bill 322. And last night on CBC, Ideas with Nala Ayed, the topic was food insecurity. One of the things that really struck me, Paul Taylor, who is an independent consultant, he used to be the executive director of Food Share on Toronto. He said that politicians should stop sorting out cans of food and start sorting policies. For example, he noted that food insecurity decreases by 50% for retired people because they draw on supports such as OAS. So that's a basic income. And so he is suggesting that that should be one of the policies that politicians work on. Thanks.
Thank you so very much, Tanya. So for all of the food security providers, that's a bill we all need to look into. The purpose of today's meeting was to highlight all of the incredible organizations that were a part of Peas in a Pod. And as Phil mentioned, there's a bunch of them that even he didn't know about. I'm so grateful for everyone that was able to come out today. We are going to be listing the organizations and their contacts on our Breezy Breakfast discussion page on Facebook, because there's just too many of them to be able to put in the chat. And I'm making an appeal to everyone. Not all of us have treasure. Some of us have time and talent. And all of these organizations need all three: treasure, time, and talent. So if you're like me and you don't have the treasure to donate, your time is incredibly valuable. Being able to go out on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday and help out with your downtown well friends and Rachel's Table, helping to provide food for some of the most vulnerable in our community, is one thing that I can do. And it actually feels really good to get to know some of our neighbors that are underhoused and underfed. Thank you to everyone for being here this holiday and winter season. Please donate what you can. Your treasure, your time, and your talent are all needed. And as we do every week, we close out with Tanya's announcements.
So there is a council planning meeting on Tuesday, December the 5th at 6:30 p.m. And the item for discussion is the Official Plan Amendment 80. In particular, the minister's reversal of provincial modifications. So that should be a barn burner of a meeting. Next week on Breezy Breakfast, we're talking accessibility in Guelph with Lorelei Root and Councillor Aaron Caton. And thank you everybody for being here. And that's a wrap. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Breezy Breakfast Hour. This show is heard weekly at 9 a.m. Mondays on CFRU 93.3 FM, and all podcasts are available anytime at breezybreakfastradiohour.podbean.com. You can also participate live and in person every Thursday at 8 a.m. at the Rise and Shine Restaurant, Island Flavor, brunch inspired, at 44 McDonnell Street in downtown Guelph. Rise and shine with the Breezy Breakfast.